Fukushima is the new Chernobyl.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The Japanese government today said while radiation levels from the Fukushima nuclear plant are down, the month-long crisis is as disastrous as the nuclear incident 25 years ago at Chernobyl. The radiation that's leaked from the sea, from the plant, I should say, to the sea is wreaking havoc on Japan's commercial fishing and a $2 billion a year seafood sector. From Japan, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
It's hard to imagine more sardines in one place. In the eastern port city of Choshi, the commercial fishing boat unloads one giant net after another of the shiny silver fish. Actually, this is a slow morning. Exports to Russia and Europe and Southeast Asia are down because of radiation fears. Takaharo Suzuki is a fifth-generation fisherman. He goes out every day with his dad and his uncle.
Usually I wake up at midnight, go out and fish till late morning. But these days I'm done early because buyers want less fish.
44-year-old Suzuki stands in the local fish market, wearing a tracksuit, rubber boots, and rubber gloves. Here, some fish have fallen off 50% in price since the news came that radiation from the Fukushima plant was spilling into nearby waters.
We send our fish to Yokohama and Tokyo to check for radiation. They're fine. Still, the rumors ruin everything.
Ruining, for instance, the sushi scene in Tokyo. Restaurant workers bark out for customers. But fish wholesaler Haru Shinazaki says the regular folks here are hesitant.
People are scared to eat fish, so my business is down by half.
Fisherman Suzuki sees no end to the troubles. It's all about Fukushima.
Our fate all depends on the nuclear plant problem. If it lasts a long time, I may have to find something else to do.
That'll be hard. He's been a fisherman since he was 18, and he still has two daughters to put through college. But he doesn't look anxious. Suzuki explains, I deal with nature for a living. The storms always come, and we know how to survive. Then one of his friends from the dock cuts off the interview with a friendly dig at America. He tells me, let the Americans know that Japanese fish are fine. The ocean current actually carries radiation away from Japan and toward you guys. In Choshi, eastern Japan, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
As President Obama tomorrow prepares to outline his vision of federal budgets to come, we're just now getting some of the details of the 2011 budget plan that averted a government shutdown. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is with us live from our New York studio with a glimpse. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's on the chopping block here?
Well, it's a little complicated because the cuts were made in so many different ways. And as you said, we're still getting the details. But some people are going to lose their jobs. You know how the White House hires those so-called czars to oversee particular policy areas.
Right.
The positions responsible for healthcare, climate change, autos, and urban affairs are all going to be eliminated. In some cases, programs will lose money but not be dissolved entirely. In that category, a program that helps the national parks buy land will lose $30 million. And then there are some cuts which are essentially paper cuts because they get rid of projects that are already dead. For example, there was about $3 billion that members of Congress had allocated to local transportation projects, but that was never actually spent.
So, all right, what gets to stay then?
Well, as we were just talking about, some of this is a matter of perspective, but Pell Grants, that is college money for low-income students, were one of the things Democrats were worried would get cut. They've actually survived. Planned Parenthood gets to keep some money. The EPA's budget is being cut, but by less than had been proposed. Ditto for the National Institutes of Health. And one that we've been following closely here at Public Radio, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting will keep its funding.
We were certainly keeping an eye on that. All right, Marketplace's Elisa Roth from New York. Elisa, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mostly lower right now. Wheat futures are again at near $8 a bushel because of dry weather in the lower plains and flooding in the Dakotas. Aluminum giant Alcoa said it made a little money last quarter, but the numbers came in below expectations. Wall Street yesterday, the Nasdaq lost about a third of a percent. The Dow added 1 point to end the day about where it started at 12,381.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. Marketplace Innovations Desk is supported by Jaguar. You can experience the 2011 Jaguar XJ at a local dealer or visit JaguarUSA.com.
The man who directed all the Godfather movies just made someone an offer he couldn't refuse. Francis Ford Coppola hired one of the world's leading wine experts and will move him from France to Coppola's vineyard in California. From the European Desk in London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The champagne corks are popping on the Coppola estate in the Napa Valley. The wine-loving director has just recruited a leading French wine manager. He plucked him from the prestigious Chateau Margaux vineyard in France. Coppola's on a mission to restore his once famous Inglenook vineyard to its former glory. Jancis Robinson of the Financial Times.
There's no doubt it's a vineyard with massive potential.
But she has her doubts that a French wine manager will transplant easily to the Napa Valley.
The weather is going to be so different. The soils will be different. So he will have a very steep learning curve.
Not least when it comes to communication. The French wine manager doesn't speak English, but the movie director is unabashed. Coppola says, "I like a man of few words." In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, it's Chicago's Little Village Academy. Kids can't brown bag it at lunchtime. The school's principal says the lunchroom provides healthier food. She says most of the time students just bring junk food from home. But some parents are outraged. They say nutritionists don't exactly give public school lunches the healthiest seal of approval. I mean, what's the nutritional value of a sloppy Joe anyway? I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org and on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
There have been farm subsidies in Europe since the Second World War ended. The fighting over them, though, that's just beginning.
They don't realize that a lot of the money is going to people who are really wealthy, wealthier than them.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the politics of European economics and the day's business news. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.